Well, last week we were talking on praise, the importance of praise, and we're just going to continue on this line this morning. And this morning we'll look at the power of praise. And there is this tremendous power released as we praise the Lord, as we praise the Lord individually, as we praise the Lord collectively. And as we praise God, not only does it bring the presence of God into our midst, but as we praise God, it prepares the way for God to help us, for God to work for us, for God to fight for us, and just to see, you know, God's working for us, you know, mightily on our behalf. Now, we are made up in the image of God. God is one, but God is three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but not three gods, one God. And we are made in His image. We are one, but we are three. We have a body, we have a soul, our mind, our emotions, our power of choice, and then we have a spirit. And of course, our spirit is the most important part of us, because with our spirit that we commune with God, that we fellowship with God, that we have relationship with the living God. And praise particularly relates to our souls. Now, of course, it relates to our body and in a measure to our spirit. But you know, as in our body, when we praise the Lord, as we were sharing last week, we can praise the Lord by shouting, we can praise the Lord by clapping, we can praise the Lord by dancing. There's different ways that we can express our praise to the Lord. And some of those ways we looked at last week involve our physical body. And even in relation to the spirit, you know, as we praise God, it helps to open our spirit, you know, like a flower is open to the sun. It opens our heart, it opens our spirit in preparation for worship. And so the main aspect of praise, even though it does relate to the body, and in a sense it relates to the spirit, and in the sense of it leads us into true worship, which is spirit, but it particularly involves, you know, our soul. And in Luke 1 and verse 46, this is the Magnificat and Mary's prayer, and she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And Mary's praying, you know, her soul, she wants her soul to magnify the Lord, to bless the Lord, to extol the Lord, to lift up the Lord. She wants her soul to praise the Lord and bless Him. And when we think of our soul, basically it's, you know, the soul of man, basically it speaks of our will. We all have a power to make a decision, to choose. We all chose this morning. Nobody forced you to come to church, but, you know, you had a choice to make up. You could have woke up and it was cold. You could have stayed in bed, but no, you made a right choice. You got up, you got dressed, you got into the car, you came to church. And with that was, you know, your will, which is, of course, a function of our soul. And then, of course, our soul is made up also of our mind, our intellect, and our soul is also made up of our feelings and of our emotions. Now, firstly, in the area of the will, area of our, we have a will, we can make decisions, we have the area of choice. And praise, it always begins and it stops with the will. And praise is something, you know, we must do, regardless of, you know, how we feel, regardless of our circumstances. And praise to our spirit, you know, is like the sunlight to a flower. It just opens up that flower in preparation for worship. Praise is important individually. Praise is important collectively as we come together. And it tells us Psalm 22 and verse 22. It says, in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the congregation, will I praise thee? Will I praise thee? And the psalmist David is saying, yes, in the midst of the congregation, I will choose. I will, an act of my volition, I will choose. I will make a decision. Yes, I will praise the Lord. And David says in Psalm 57 and verse 7, and he says there, Psalm 57 and verse 7, he says, my heart is fixed. Nothing's going to change it. It's fixed. My heart is set. My heart is made a decision. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And so David is saying, in spite of his circumstances, I will sing. I will give praise. I will give praise. Psalm 34 and verse 1. Another one of the Psalms of David. And when David wrote the Psalm, I mean, he was in the wilderness. He was being afflicted. There was persecution. Saul was trying to kill him, was after his life. He was fleeing. He had his men with him. He was in constant danger. But he opens the Psalm up. And he opens it up in Psalm 34 and verse 1. He said, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just sometimes. I will bless the Lord at all times. It was his will. He made a choice, a decision. And he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It wasn't just in his heart, but his praise in his mouth. And you know, David, he had many, many enemies constantly. There was, you know, Saul and his men were after his life and after his life trying to kill him. I mean, a desperate situation. But David could say, in spite of all that, I will praise the Lord at all times. And of course, praise is in our lives. If we're going to have constant victory in our lives, and God wants us. He doesn't want us going up and down in our Christian life, victory one day and defeat another day. No, he wants us to be in constant victory. Now, of course, it's not just praise, but praise is definitely one of the keys so that we can walk in constant victory, you know, day by day. The second area of the soul, particularly the mind, our mind, our thinking, our intellect. And in the area of praise, God wants our mind to be disciplined, strongly disciplined, to concentrate on the words we are speaking or singing in praise to God. In Psalm 47 and in verse 7, we read there, it says, sing praises with understanding. Sing ye praises with understanding. In other words, when we're praising God, it's not just something sort of repetitious just because somebody else is doing it, or we're just by rote just going over, you know, the same words. No. David says, sing praises. The psalmist says, sing praises with understanding. And if our mind is undisciplined, and if our mind is passive, and you know, you can be praising God, but if your mind's just out of it and not with it, obviously that praise can just become, you know, it doesn't really go up to the Lord. It just becomes ritualistic, and you know, there's no power in it. There's no life in it. There's no depth in it. And so it's important, you know, when we praise the Lord, we use our mind. In other words, why do we praise the Lord? Why are we giving praise to God? Psalm 63 and verse 3 says, let the people praise thee. Let the people praise thee. You know, it was a command. Many times it was a command in the Psalms. And it says, let the people praise thee. We're commanded to praise the Lord. Psalm 63, you know, we praise, and verse 3, It said, we praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy of our praise, our love, our adoration. He's our God. He's our Savior. He is worthy. Psalm 50 verse 23 tells us that whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So when we praise the Lord, we are bringing glory to God. We're bringing glory to Him. Whoso offereth praise, as we praise Him, we are pleasing Him. We're bringing glory to Him. He is glorified in our midst. And who orders his conversation or behavior aright, God will show the salvation of God. So when we praise the Lord, the reason with our mind, we praise the Lord. We're commanded to. He's worthy to be praised. He is glorified when we praise the Lord. And the way we enter into God's presence is through praise. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will enter his courts with praise. And so praise is the way to begin to enter into God's presence. And we all want his presence. So if we're going to come into God's presence, we come the way in. We come in by praise. And another aspect of praise relating to the mind, I mean, when we praise the Lord, it drives away the presence of evil spirits and the powers of darkness. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 23, we know that when Saul had that evil spirit, David came, and David just ministered on the harp, and he played that instrument. And the tremendous anointing of the Lord came upon him. And the evil spirit could not stand. And the evil spirit left Saul. So praise, it drives away. Praise drives away the presence of evil spirits. So we must understand why we are giving praise to God. And during our times of praise, you know, it's important to understand not just why we praise the Lord, but what we are saying when we sing praise to the Lord, or we sing the choruses. Do we, with our mind, sort of try to concentrate and think of those words, or do we just sort of sing it because we've got singing and it just becomes a ritualistic thing? But the Lord exhorts us, you know, to sing unto the Lord. The importance of understand what we are saying and singing by thinking, by meditating on the choruses or the hymns or the words of the song that is being sung. You know, David says in the Psalms, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He goes on, you know, forget not all his benefits. You know, he's thinking about them. He's remembering them. He's remembering what God has done, thinking about the benefits of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, what God has done for him, who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And, you know, he speaks of the Lord and what the Lord has done. And his heart is just full of praise to the Lord. And so it's important to think with our mind what we're saying, what we're singing, to think and meditate on the words of the songs. And when we speak praise to the Lord and vocalize it, you know, we don't just sort of, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No, but it's we speak it out, and we can be creative, not just, you know, praise the Lord. I mean, it's fine to say praise the Lord. It's fine to say praise the Lord over and over if it's really coming from the heart. But it can become just a motion that you go through, you know, so easily. And even in the relationship to the mind and praising God, we can you know, we're not just to say the same thing, but think of different things, what God has done for us. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you for your goodness. I praise you for your faithfulness. I praise you, Lord Jesus. You answered this prayer. And think of ways to think of things to praise him for and to magnify his name. So it's important that our minds are creative in speaking praise or, you know, in singing, you know, a new song. Just making up the words of ourself in praise and adoration and love to him. Now, also, when Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, our soul, our will, our mind, but also God has made us all with emotions, and or with feelings. Now, you know, emotions are not bad. I mean, God's given us emotions, and we can express those emotions. Now, emotions at times can go wild, and they need to be reined in, and they need to be subject to, you know, to our spirit. Our soul needs to be subject to our spirit. But God has given us emotions, and we can express those feelings and emotions as we praise the Lord. And God's given us those emotions to express our joy, our rejoicing, you know, in all that God has done and all the goodness of God. Psalm 51:11 says, let the redeemed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, coming with singing, coming rejoicing, expressing those emotions. Psalm 149:3, praise the name of the Lord in the dance. And as we dance unto the Lord, you know, expressing emotion, we're glorifying the Lord. Psalm 63:5, my soul shall praise thee with joyful lips. Not just lips, but joyful lips, expressing our joy. Joy is an emotion. Emotions are involved in expressing joy. And so, we know, as Nehemiah said, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, it's a tremendous thing to have the joy of the Lord welling up, to have it bubbling up within us. And, you know, there can be times, even difficult times, hard times, but even in the midst of that, you know, as we praise God, God wants to put his joy in our heart as we praise the Lord, and for an expressible joy, you know, just to bubble up from within. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalm 8:2. The psalmist David, as he looks on the heavens and the greatness of God, and in verse 2 it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, even little babes, little sucklings, little infants, hast thou ordained strength. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Now, Jesus, he quotes that verse in Matthew's gospel. And when he quotes that verse, this was shortly before he went to the cross, Jesus quoted that verse, Psalm 8:2, and in Matthew 21:16, when Jesus was quoting from Psalm 8:2, he expressed it in a slightly different way. So Psalm 8:2 was, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength, perfected strength. But in Matthew 21:16, Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Thou hast perfected praise. So in Psalm 8:2, it says, ordained strength. And when Jesus quotes that in Matthew 21:16, he quotes ordained strength as perfected praise. Perfected praise. So what is this telling us? It is through perfected or joyful praise, through joyful praise, we receive spiritual strength. And as we are those who consciously praise the Lord, even though when we don't feel like it, You know, it's easy to praise the Lord when everybody else is praising the Lord and you know, nothing's going wrong and there's no problems. But it's not easy to do it when there's all kinds of difficulties, when there's opposition, when there's things are going wrong. And it is not easy. It is not easy. And then we have to use our will. We have to make a decision and begin to obey God and praise the Lord. But there's a promise here that as we praise the Lord, or through praising God, perfected praise, joyful praise, we will receive the strength of God. We'll have an exchange, as we heard in that prophecy this morning. We'll have an exchange of our weakness for His wonderful strength. His wonderful strength. And we are to express, you know, our emotions in praising God. Now, yes, we're to express our emotions as we praise the Lord, and as we praise the Lord in different ways, but sometimes emotions go the other extreme and they get out of control. And, you know, when I grew up in the Anglican Church in New Zealand, Episcopalian Church. I was sprinkled there when I was a baby, and I grew up in that church. And I mean, there everything was quiet. Everything was really very dead. You know, nobody sang joyfully. You know, nobody clapped their hands. Nobody lifted their hands. Certainly nobody danced. And there was no expression of emotions at all. But then in some other churches I've been at, especially as I've traveled overseas, you know, sometimes, you know, in times of praise, just the people have gone screaming out to God, crying out, and there's been, you know, emotions have gone just out of control. And that's not right either, because that can bring in another spirit. And the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, he said, let all things be done. Let all things be done. We can do all things. We can praise God. We can shout. We can jump. We can dance before the Lord. But then he says, let all things be done decently and in order. And, you know, not going wild. Isaiah 61 and verse 3, it tells us there that God has given to us a garment of praise, a garment of praise. And it speaks of praise like a garment. You know, you put on a jacket, you put on a dress, you put on that garment. And we sing that chorus often, you know, put on the garment of praise, put on the garment of praise. And we are to put it on, and we are to put that garment on regularly. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. What is a spirit of heaviness? You know, people are down or depressed. It's like a spirit of depression. You're down. And you know, it's amazing the number of Christians who are depressed. I mean, it's everywhere. So many, for one reason or another, you know, they're down, they're discouraged, they're low, they're depressed. But God does not want it to be that way. And God wants us to know the victory of the Lord. You know, sometimes it's a spirit attacking, an evil spirit, a spirit of heaviness, an evil spirit of depression, trying to, maybe it's not inside, but at least attacking from the outside. And we've got to recognize what is happening. And certainly one of the keys to having victory over depression and the spirit of depression is to put on the garment of praise and be one who will praise God in all situations. And, you know, sometimes this demonic spirit, a spirit of heaviness, sometimes it can be a demonic spirit which seeks to take away from God's people their spiritual strength by, and this is especially, you know, in some of the places, churches I've visited overseas, especially inflicting them with sorrow and weeping during times of praise. And now there's a time to weep. There's a time to cry out. There's a time to intercede. Sometimes, you know, God will put a spirit of tears or of intercession and weeping with it. But during times of praise, the Bible says praise is joyful. When we praise God, there is a time of rejoicing. And, you know, sometimes when people get mournful and sorrowing or weeping during times of praise, it can end up in bringing a wrong spirit or another spirit into the meeting. And so in the area of emotions must be subject to our spirit. And, you know, David, he talked to himself. He talked to his emotions. He talked to his soul. And he said, soul, he encouraged his soul. And he says, soul, you hope in God. You hope in God. And that's why even in the area, you know, of musical instruments, the reason why we don't have, you know, drums in our service here is because often, you know, in services, you know, the drums are, you know, they're beaten louder and louder, and they're the dominant instrument. And what that does, drums and sometimes, you know, a bass guitar going boom, 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 boom. You know, what it does is it stirs up the wrong things. It stirs up the flesh, and it can result in becoming very sensuous. So, you know, we've got to be careful with the emotions, that the emotions, you know, don't go wild, don't go out of control, and they're subject to our spirit. We are to be led of the spirit. We're not to be led of our emotions. And of course, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is self-control or temperance. And, you know, God wants that to be manifest, to be worked in our lives. In the Old Testament, it was the tribe of Levi. They were the priests. And the tribe of Levi, they were the one to offer up the sacrifices, the burnt offerings, the meal offering, peace offerings, and so on. And only one, it was God's will that all the tribes be priests, but they did not obey. And it was only Levi who were priests. And they were the ones to offer up the animal sacrifices, the lambs, the goats, the bullocks on the altar of burnt offering. But it is very clear in the New Covenant, all of us have been called to be priests unto God. Every believer is a priest. And as priests, God's called us to offer up spiritual sacrifices. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, you all as living stones, each one of us who's been born again, received Christ, we're a stone. We're living stones. And we're built up, Peter says, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. And so one of those spiritual sacrifices that each of us are called to offer up is the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it tells us, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. And then Paul brings it out. He says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so the sacrifice of praise, you know, is praise we offer to the Lord when we're not feeling so good, when our feelings are down, and when we're feeling low, when we're feeling discouraged, when there's trouble, when there's difficulties that we're facing. And in those times, you know, we must be those who stir ourselves up to praise the Lord. And praise at some, and so that involves a cost. There is a cost to offering a sacrifice of praise. And otherwise it wouldn't be called a sacrifice. But Paul calls it Hebrews 13:15. It's a sacrifice. Let us, he writes to those believers, offer the sacrifice of praise. And praise at such times costs something and is therefore known as a sacrifice of praise. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we read the occasion where David sinned because he numbered the people of Israel. And God's judgment came down upon David because of that. And David's sin affected the Israelites. It's affected the nation. And in fact, God sent a pestilence, and 70,000 men, children of Israel, they died as that pestilence came down upon Judah, upon Jerusalem. And God was going to destroy Jerusalem. But then the prophet Gad, he came and he told David to set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusites, and to make a sacrifice before the Lord, that the Lord would stop that plague and have mercy. And so he went to seek to purchase the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite right there in Jerusalem. And Ornan said, just take it. You can just have it. But David said, no. I'm not going to sacrifice anything to the Lord without paying the price. And so Ornan mentioned the cost of it. It was 600 shekels of gold. And so we read that David, he measured out those shekels, those 600 shekels, and he paid the full price of the threshing floor. And there was an area around it, a field around it, and there were some trees as well. And David says he sacrificed. There was a cost involved, but David was willing to pay that cost. And, you know, he paid the cost. He paid the full amount. And then he sacrificed the burnt offerings and the meal offerings, the peace offerings unto the Lord. And the Lord had mercy and it stopped. And so there was a price to pay. And sometimes it's not easy. It is not easy to sacrifice. When we're really going through it, it is not easy to be praising God. It is not easy. There is a cost. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. In Psalm 42 and verse 11, it says, "Why art thou," David is writing here, "he said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you so depressed? Hope thou in God." And he speaks to his soul. He speaks to his soul. Don't get depressed. He takes his emotions under control. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." My countenance and my God. And he has to speak to his soul, to hope in God, to trust in God, to praise the Lord. And at that time, it wasn't easy for David, because David had been king and there'd been an uprising against him by his own son, who he loved. And Absalom, he had about 20,000 men with him, and David had to flee from Jerusalem into the wilderness. He only had about 2,000 men with him. So Absalom's men outnumbered David about 10-1. And in that situation, you know, David is saying, you know, "Hope thou in God. I will yet praise him. I will offer the sacrifice of praise," even in that, you know, very, very difficult situation that he was going through. And there's a cost. And all of us will all be tried. We'll all be tried in one way or another. There's an amazing story, familiar story, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. And Paul's on a second missionary journey. And he's led to Philippi. He's guided there miraculously by a vision. He's in the center of the will of God. And yet, even in spite of being in the very center of God's will, he ends up in prison. And then Paul and his companion Silas, they end up getting beaten with rods and whips. No doubt there's blood coming out their back and hunks of their flesh sticking out, and great suffering and difficulties and heartaches, beaten in that prison and thrown into the inner prison. And what does Paul do? Paul is, you know, he's praising and magnifying the Lord. And, you know, he seeks to praise God. Now, that was an incredible sacrifice, incredible sacrifice. I mean, how many of us could do that? Here he tells Silas, Silas, let's hope in God. Let's praise the Lord. Let's sing unto the Lord. And they sing unto God. And it's a sacrifice of praise. And we know the story as Paul is singing and rejoicing and offering that sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, unto the Lord. You know, God comes on the scene. God comes on the scene. And the prison doors, which are securely bolted, they swing open. And the jailer, he thinks everybody's escaped. But Paul says, no, we're all here. And then a few minutes later, the jailer is saying, you know, what shall I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved and your household. And, you know, he begins. A wonderful miracle happened. And that miracle happened. The miracle happened as they praised God, as Paul and Silas praised God. If they had not been praising God, singing and rejoicing, I believe that miracle would not have happened. I believe that the prison doors would have not swung open, and the jailer and all his household, they would not have been saved. But because of the sacrifice of praise, it resulted, you know, in the gospel going forth, in people coming to the Lord and coming into victory. And, you know, all of us, we're all going through tests and trials and so on. And, you know, as we're crying out to God and looking to the Lord that God will move and bring revival. But in the meantime, you know, we've got to be doing things right. And we've got to be those who, you know, by the grace of God, we're not going to get depressed. We're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to get offended. We're not going to, you know, let all kinds of things get us down. But by the grace of God, we're going to arise in God. We're going to be a thankful people. We're going to be those who will praise the Lord in all situations, in all situations. And as we do that, even in the hard times, I believe God will take us on into his purposes. God will give us the breakthrough individually. God will give us the breakthrough collectively here in the church. And I believe this is a very important key. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't always had the victory. I haven't always, you know, been praising God in difficult situations. But sometimes I've got it right. And when I've got it right, and when I've done that, I've seen God come through and God do awesome things. And one of those is when a number of years ago, I think I've shared this before, but I'll repeat it again. We'd been in India for 4 years. We went back to New Zealand. We're coming to America for the first time. 1987 it was. And we stopped in Fiji. And there we checked into the hotel. We went out for a meal with the pastor. He brought us back to the hotel. We opened the door, and then, you know, a thief had come in, climbed up the drain pipe, left a big screwdriver, which he'd forced the window open, come in, all our bags were everywhere, you know, money stolen, all kinds of clothing stolen, shoes taken, jacket stolen, so many things lost, kids' toys gone. And I can remember, you know, for a moment, my just heart just sank. And, you know, it'd been difficulties in India, there'd been trials there, there'd been the, you know, the heat and the problems and so on. And I, in my heart, I just said, Lord, as if, you know, almost sort of blaming God, Lord, why did you let that happen to me? And I've sacrificed for you and I've done this, da da da. And it was not a good attitude. But then suddenly, just the Holy Spirit, just very clearly, Hebrews 10:34, rejoice in the spoiling of your goods. Praise me in the spoiling of your goods. Offer a sacrifice of praise. That was the last thing we felt like doing. So I shared it with Marilyn, with the kids. They were young. And we began to praise the Lord. We began to speak praise. And we began to sing. And the presence of God came down in that little hotel room. And the presence of God came down. And God just came and God just met with us. It was quite a sovereign, supernatural way. And instead of, you know, literally, the joy was bubbling up from within. I mean, literally, bubbling up within. And, you know, the joy of the Lord, it is our strength. And, you know, everything was just turned around. And before we got back to India, virtually everything we had stolen was replaced. And God provide over and above as well. And, you know, so it's easy for God to turn things. God is looking at our heart. He's looking at our attitude. And he wants us to be those who will praise the Lord in the dry times, in the dark times, in the difficult times, in the times of being offended, in the times of being persecuted, in the times of loneliness, in the times of difficulty. It is a powerful key. The weapon of praise, the power of praise, it can turn situations completely around. In Psalm 149, and there the psalmist says in verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. All right? Are people praising God? The praises of God in their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. A two-edged sword in their hand. So there's praise in the mouth, in our lips. The purpose, verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, upon the Gentiles, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings. And that's not talking about earthly kings. That's talking about satanic principalities and powers and the powers of darkness. And basically it's saying, as we praise the Lord, as we offer that sacrifice of praise, it will bind the powers of darkness, to bind their kings, demon powers, with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. And then it says to execute upon them the judgment written. The judgment written on the powers of darkness. That Jesus has defeated Satan and every demonic power and force. And then it says, this honor have all his saints. All his saints. It's for every believer, every saint. God has given, with the victory of Jesus on the cross, has given you authority, you know, over the enemy. And, you know, as you pray, as you look to the Lord, as you offer that sacrifice of praise, we can have the honor. This honor is given to the saints to execute judgments upon the powers of darkness. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's another well-known scripture and a well-known passage of Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah, and the enemies had united together to come against him. All the enemies from Ammon, the enemies in Moab, and the enemies in Mount Seir or Edom. And they'd linked together, they joined together for strength so that they could come and defeat King Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, he cries out to God. He cries out to God. And then the prophecy comes forth. Jahaziel comes forth with a prophetic word, you know, to be still and to see to the salvation of the Lord, and not to be afraid of the great multitude. And the prophecy comes forth. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. And what did Jehoshaphat do? This enemy, and Jehoshaphat was outnumbered, greatly outnumbered. All the enemies united together from three different kings. And what does Jehoshaphat do? In 2 Chronicles and chapter 20 and verse 21, it says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." You know, imagine that. You know, all his army with all their weapons coming against you. What did Jehoshaphat do? He appointed singers, no weapons that were on them, just to go forth to sing and to praise the beauty of holiness. And that's the word to praise, the word halal we looked at last week, as they went out before the army, and to say, to speak out, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Here they were, their lives were in danger, the enemy was coming against them, they went out and they praised the Lord. And it says in verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise and offer that sacrifice of praise, when they began to sing, when they began to praise, God came forth, God did a miracle, God confused the minds of the enemies and caused them to fight each other instead of fighting Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And there was a tremendous victory for the Lord. There is tremendous power in praise, tremendous power in praise. And God is wanting, he's wanting us to know the power of praise in our lives individually. He's wanting us to know the power of praise in our church collectively. That the power of praise, the power of praise can turn things around, can see great victories, can bring down the powers of the enemy, and can lead us in triumph and victory. And it is one of the keys for walking in victory day by day.